New Year's Eve celebrations in the U.S., including Times Square in New York. Authorities there said there are no specific threats. High surf warnings and coastal flood advisories remain in effect for parts of coastal California. And there was no jackpot winner in Saturday's Powerball, the next jackpot worth $810 million. This is ABC News. It was a deadly night in Pennsylvania.
Two people are dead and six are injured after three separate shootings rocked Allentown, Pennsylvania in just one night.
I heard about 5 to 8 shots. By the time I got outside, the road was already filled with police.
Allentown resident Desiree Guth heard the first shooting, which killed an adult woman and a one-year-old child.
As we were all standing out here, we heard three more shots up the block.
Police say the shootings, which occurred Friday night into Saturday morning, do not appear to be connected. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
New laws take effect in the new year. One of them deals with minimum wage at the state level. Over 20 states are raising the minimum wage, and many of them will now double the federal amount of $7.25 an hour. Washington's going up the most to $16.28. Taxes are going down on groceries in Kansas from 4% to 2%. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new report finds smart toys pose all kinds of serious risks for families. Mike Moan reports.
The smart toy market is now a more than $16 billion industry and is expected to double by 2027. This holiday season, experts are warning parents to check the safety and privacy features of toys children receive. Teresa Murray with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group Education Fund says stuffed animals, baby dolls, racer tracks, and even board games may have features that allow them to record conversations and collect personal information and location data.
They have microphones or cameras, or they connect to an app, or they're Wi-Fi enabled or Bluetooth. They have geolocators, which is a whole thing. So parents really need to ask a lot of questions when it comes to these smart toys.
This year, the Federal Trade Commission and Department of Justice charged Amazon with violating the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act rule by deceiving parents and users of the Alexa voice assistant service about its data deletion practices. The company allegedly kept voice recordings of children and gathered geolocation data and used children's transcripts. Congress did pass tougher toy safety regulations in 2008, triggering a spike in recalled toys that suddenly didn't meet safety standards. Murray says that while the number of unsafe toys has gradually decreased, parents still should inspect their children's toys.
Especially if you're talking about a younger child. But inspect that toy and make sure that none of the parts have come loose. Nothing could come off that could endanger them or be a choking hazard.
And while toy-related deaths and injuries treated in emergency rooms among children 14 and younger have declined, hospitals and doctors' offices around the country still see more than 150,000 toy-related injuries a year. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Tuesday, January 2nd, we've got ourselves a double. It's Schwamigan hosting Butternut for girls basketball at 7 p.m. on 103.1, and Mellon hosting Schwamigan boys basketball also at 7 p.m. here on 98. Then, on Monday, January 8th, we've got Phillips hosting Ladysmith girls, again at 7 p.m. on 103.1. High school sports here on 98Q Country, your local Civic Media radio station.
Packers battle the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Packers and the Vikings tonight on Sunday Night Football. Both teams trying to keep their wild card playoff hopes alive, but another setback for Green Bay defensive back Eric Stokes. He's been placed on IR after suffering another hamstring injury. Backup safety Benny Sapp has been promoted to the 53-man roster. On this day, New Year's Eve 1967, the Packers beat the Cowboys 21-17 in the Ice Bowl, 13 degrees below zero at Lambeau Field. After the game, quarterback Bart Starr on just how slippery the field was.
We were having real poor footing down there. We had some couple of good plays we felt in that situation. We couldn't even put it in with those. The backs were sliding when they would start. And really, we had run out of ideas. We didn't know what to do.
Starr scoring the winning touchdown on a quarterback sneak, and head coach Vince Lombardi asked about the game-winning drive.
We didn't do anything differently. We added one little play from the sidelines, and that was it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. A winter weather advisory continues. Chance of snow today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 29. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to around 14. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Bright sunshine tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 30. Overcast Tuesday with daytime highs approaching 31. 27, slight chance of snow Wednesday. A peek at the extended shows, 25 Thursday, 27 Friday, and 30 on Saturday. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frobley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
This week on Viewpoint.
The birds survived, and of course, birds are living dinosaurs.
The larger picture of why dinosaurs are no longer around today. Then,
I had to really put her back in line and say, you're still a teenager, go out with your friends, you're going to college, this is not your burden, let's process this. You've had a loss too, let's talk about this.
Finding a way back after loss. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Anjali.
Hi, it's Jennifer Coolidge. I just got an alert for a strange charge on my card.
No problem. We make sure you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases on your Discover card. Let's see. Did you purchase something from a t-shirt cannon store yesterday?
Absolutely not. No, I already have like three.
$0 fraud liability guarantee. It pays to Discover. Learn more at discover.com/credit card. Limitations apply.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Roll Charmin ultra strong when you drop in the beat. It cleans way less effort on your seat. Yeah. Roll it. Drop it. Yeah. Roll it. Yeah. Drop it. Okay. Charmin flows extra strong from the road. Get your butt hella clean while you're sitting on the bowl. Yeah. It's all you need for that bathroom groove. Get you in and out without nothing to prove.
Charmin ultra strong cleans better so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
How old were you when you learned about dinosaurs? Were you one of the millions of kids that got hooked on classics like Jurassic Park or The Land Before Time? These towering reptiles roamed the Earth for more than 165 million years. In comparison, humans have only been around for about 5 to 7 million years. Even if you never went through a dino phase, you have to admit, they're quite unlike anything on Earth today. For Michael Benton, studying these creatures was more than a curiosity. He's a professor of vertebrate paleontology at the University of Bristol in England and author of the book Dinosaurs, New Visions of a Lost World. His research focuses on one of the greatest prehistoric mysteries of all time, why the dinosaurs went extinct. You've likely heard the narrative of how an asteroid crashed into the Earth and wiped out the species, and you're correct. This theory has been accepted since the 1980s, but Benton got to thinking, what if there's more to the story here? Would our favorite dinosaurs, like the T-Rex and Stegosaurus, still be here if the asteroid had missed Earth? Benton transports us back to a time before humans.
It seems that certain groups of dinosaurs that within individual localities, they were kind of doing okay. There was nothing to worry about. If you'd gone back in a time machine, you'd have seen T-Rex chasing a Triceratops and a herd of, these are the spiky horned ones with horns on their faces. The Triceratops would form a ring and to defend their babies, and the T-Rex would be grunting with disapproval and so on. But summed up over the whole world, or even over the whole of North America, it seems it was just at the beginnings of a downturn.
So how did paleontologists notice this decline? They used the entire fossil record to find the rate of replacement, or how quickly new dinosaur species were popping up. What they found added a whole new perspective.
When we did this in 2016, a lot of people were very unhappy. No, no, this can't be right. Blah, 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 blah. You didn't think about this or that or the other thing. And so we repeated the one with a different data set, focusing in on North America, where the record is probably the best in the world for the last millions of years of the dinosaurs. And got the same result, absolutely. And the methods we use repeat the calculations billions of times. So we're using a so-called iterative method or Bayesian method, where each time you run the calculation, you just twiddle a few things. Maybe we're uncertain about the age of this dinosaur, or we're a little bit uncertain about where it sits in the evolutionary tree, or maybe we're not sampling fossils in an even-handed way across the whole area. So you just keep tweaking, run it again, tweak, run it again.
The conclusion of this exhaustive study showed that there were other forces slowly pushing dinosaurs out the door. Some paleontologists theorized that climate change was responsible. Benton explains that these creatures enjoyed the warm weather of the Mesozoic era, but as the Earth's geography changed and temperatures slowly dropped, the dinosaurs began to struggle.
When I started looking at the extinction of the dinosaurs, there were two very definite viewpoints. And the traditional view, the older view, back in the 1960s and 70s, was that dinosaurs declined gradually over 40 or 50 million years. And this was maybe connected with mountain building episodes as the Earth broke up and the continents moved apart, which could have made parts of the world uninhabitable. But then the impact idea became accepted. It was first sort of rejected. People, no, this is far too dramatic and amazing. And no, it's ridiculous. But of course, the evidence piled up, and there is no doubt. And we have the crater. The crater is in Mexico.
And these two viewpoints have rarely overlapped in conversation. He says that although the global fossil record is incomplete, both extinction theories of the steady and sudden collapse of the dinosaurs can be proven true. One key piece is the North American fossil record, which has far less gaps than the other continents like Australia and Asia. Benton focused his research on these fossils and was able to paint a more accurate picture.
It's based on the evidence, it's based on the data, and we had no particular expectation. Although I think we were clear that the asteroid did it. So there is no question the physical evidence that the asteroid hit the Earth in Mexico, the Chicxulub impact, 66 million years ago, is absolutely there.
Hopefully there's no more barreling asteroids in our future. Either way, with or without the impact, scientists are now fairly certain what would have eventually happened to dinosaurs.
Temperatures coming down towards the levels they're at today, in the beginnings of the Antarctic ice cap, maybe 30, 40 million years ago, I don't think dinosaurs would have survived that. So I think even if the asteroid had not hit, they would have been continuing to decline. There were little bursts of warm temperature 50 million years ago and so on. That might have helped them a bit. But it got cooler about the time of the spread of grasslands over all the continents, maybe 30, 40 million years ago. I think they would have gone out because they just couldn't have survived the cold winters.
In some ways, dinosaurs are still around today. Benton points out that avian dinosaurs with bird-like features were the least affected by the asteroid's impact.
The birds survived, and of course, birds are living dinosaurs. And as far as we can tell, only maybe three or four, maybe five species of birds survived through the extinction event. And I think the evidence is that they were ground dwellers. So there were things like ancestors of chickens and ducks that could sort of grub around on the ground. They were not dependent on flying and catching flying prey. But beyond that, what can we say? They survived. But it may only, you know, it's a bottleneck. They are very, hundreds of species of birds went extinct. And it was just three or four species maybe survived through, from which we get all the 10,000 species of modern birds.
So, any guesses on what the next mass extinction event may look like? Benton says that sometimes we forget that extinction is a natural process. It makes way for new species to thrive. However, this doesn't give humans a free pass to live irresponsibly.
People are cutting down those rainforests in Brazil. There goes that valley, 27 unique species of beetles. There goes another valley. Whoops, there's another 32 species of unique beetle. Who cares about beetles? Well, you know, those are species, and therefore this is adding up. And so it's almost certain that the figures are huge, and they're matching up to the levels we've had in the mass extinctions in the past, because they've, in the end, typically done for maybe 50% of species. And at this rate, I guess it will carry on. Yeah, what do we do? People know what we have to do. We have to stop cutting down the rainforest in Brazil. We have to stop wearing and throwing away plastic. We have to stop drinking out of plastic bottles and throwing them in the sea. All the obvious things, it's quite easy. We know what to do, and we just need people to actually do those things.
We'll never get the chance to walk alongside the beasts of our childhood dreams like in Jurassic Park, but we can help to slow the disappearance of other majestic creatures. You can learn more about Michael Benton's research in his book, Dinosaurs, New Visions of a Lost World. You can also find archives of past shows and guests at viewpointsradio.org. A variation of this story originally aired in August 2021. Our writers this week are Scarlett O'Hara and Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, grief is a universally shared experience. So why do we avoid talking about it like it's the plague when Viewpoints returns?
Imagine a time when America's first black pilots take to the skies. Even with little money, no support, and dwindling resources, these invisible eagles were still able to secure record-breaking achievements in aviation. This podcast tells the story of one of these pioneers.
And there she goes, folks. Brave Bessie is headed up into the sky.
Hey, y'all. I'm Bessie Coleman, and I want to tell you a story. What you hear is the sounds of when I became the very first black woman to ever take flight.
American Urban Radio Networks and Flying Free Films presents Invisible Eagles, Bessie Coleman, presented by AARP and starring Quvenzhané Wallace as Bessie, a story that will take you around the world from America to Europe during the roaring 1920s. It's a time of the Great Depression, new technology, a world war, and the horrors of Jim Crow. Invisible Eagles, Bessie Coleman, presented by AARP. Subscribe now in your favorite app so you can get the latest episode downloaded as soon as it's released.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
About 1 in 12 children in the U.S. will experience the death of a parent or sibling before they turn 18. This number more than doubles by the time a young person reaches the age of 25, according to a 2023 report by the nonprofit Judy's House in partnership with the New York Life Foundation. Zoom in on this report, and these numbers are staggering in certain states. In West Virginia and New Mexico, 1 in 8 children will lose a parent or sibling before they're 18. In Ohio, Missouri, Indiana, and South Carolina, this number is 1 in 10. This permanent loss, whether it's a loved one or close friend, is crippling at any age, but can be especially damaging to a child in the long term if it's pushed aside or mismanaged.
Kids can be really angry, so can adults, to be honest, and they can be hyperactive or they appear like everything is fine. And so we think, you know, I don't really think this is affecting them. And one of the big differences, I think, with child grief and adult grief is developmentally how it impacts them as far as object permanency, you know, like people are here and then they disappear. So what does that mean? And they may not, depending on their age, have a full understanding of death and how it's permanent, especially in our world where you have like 9 lives on a video game and the cartoons pop back up. And so there's this idea that death is not permanent. And so that can be difficult. And then also I think there's this appropriately self-focused attitude with children that is appropriate developmentally, but when it comes to grief, then it's their fault. And they'll find a way how that death was their fault, and they can really internalize that if it's not processed.
That's Natasha Daniels, a child therapist specializing in anxiety and OCD. She's also the author of The Grief Rock, a book to understand grief and love. Daniels knows this feeling of grief firsthand, not just through her work, but from dealing with an unexpected loss in her life.
My husband was a healthy 42-year-old. He got injured at work and had to have Achilles tendon surgery, very minor outpatient, and he was just recovering at home a few days later and went to bed and never woke up and died of a blood clot, we found out later. So I, at the time, this was about 3 years ago at this point, and my kids were 9, 11, and 18. So to have that sudden death is hard no matter what. But I think the suddenness of not having the ability to process a loss or see it coming was even harder to handle.
We all know that grief is never easy. She adds that every person's experience is unique and can present in different ways in different people. Oftentimes, out-of-character behavior can be a larger indicator that something is off.
My 9-year-old, she's not 9 now, she's 12, but you know, she's like very expressive. She is a very expressive child, and she was very expressive in her grief, you know, sobbing on the floor, like very physically exhausted for my grief, you know, that she was very like outward. My son, very much aligned with his personality, was everything was fine. There's not a problem. He wasn't an issue. He was hyperactive, which he normally isn't. And so I was kind of like, what is going on with him? But I think he didn't know what to do with all this energy, all this like the sadness in the house.
Compare this to Daniel's eldest daughter, who was 18 at the time and about to go off to college. After the death, her daughter swooped into action mode and began taking care of the family and house, hoping to ease the burden.
I had to really put her back in line and say, you're still a teenager, go out with your friends, you're going to college, like this is not your burden, let's process this, you've had a loss too, let's talk about this.
In these moments, being a therapist really helped Daniels guide her own children and herself through this period. But for most people out there who are unsure of where to start, she recommends making a list of local grief support groups and therapists. Also, get in contact with your child's school counselor so they're up to speed.
I'm a doer, so I was like, let's check those boxes. And I do feel like giving your kids an opportunity to say, like, these are all the tools and resources we have for you, and then honoring what resonates with them. And so I was very fortunate to find Billy's Place, which is a grief support group in Phoenix, Arizona, that deals with, like, immediate loss, like a parent or a sibling. And I said to my kids, just try it 3 times. And actually, Billy's Place was like that, too. They're like, just give it, you know, we ask that you try 3 times. And I appreciate that because I would do that in my therapy, too. I'd say, hey, I know you don't want to come to therapy, but give me, you know, 3 sessions. And if you still feel that way, I'll 100% honor that. And so 2 out of my 3 kids decided that the support groups weren't for them. And my youngest, she was there for like over a year.
And everyone's journey looks a little different. In children, it's possible for signs of grief to be delayed by months or even years. Factors like age, personality, and development can all play a role.
You never know when a child will need some more professional or peer support, because I think that's the other difference with adults versus kids is their grief doesn't end in the way that ours evolves. I feel like I've had to learn how to carry my grief. You know, 3 years later, I'm like, I have this relationship with grief, and I realize that sometimes it's going to knock me over. I realize it's never going to go away. Like, I have this, like, understanding. And with kids, they hit a different developmental stage, or they have, like, now their brain is firing at a different level, and they have a new awareness, or they have a memory that at this stage of life, they can reflect differently on it, or something triggers them, and they process that grief all over again. And so sometimes when they're little, they don't process grief until they're 5 years later, and they can really, like, experience that loss. And as parents, we might be like, what? Why are you having a hard time now? It's been so long.
Daniels believes there's no time limit on grief. It's okay to sit in it without rushing yourself along. For her, the physical symptoms were debilitating, but eventually improved over time. For years, she struggled with chest pain, fatigue, sleeplessness, and felt like she was in a fog. Now, 3 years later, she's still grieving, but in a different way.
For me, and this is going to probably sound really weird, but it actually feels really good when I crumble 3 years out, because it reminds me that my love is still there. Like, I can sob really deeply still 3 years later. That, like, actually feels really therapeutic to me. And that's my new relationship with grief. And I think kids have the same dynamic going on.
Last but not least, grief isn't limited to loss of life. It's normal for kids or adults to experience variations of grief from all kinds of triggers. A young person can grieve the end of a life chapter, like a graduation from high school or college. Similarly, a child who's recently moved can grieve the familiarity of their old school, home, and friends. Daniels offers these words of advice.
A lot of times we want to swoop in and fix it. You know, we want to make it better. And really the biggest gift we can give our kids is validation that it hurts and that there is a time for grieving. You know, grieving a friendship, grieving a new teacher and an old teacher leaving, or grieving the change that sometimes I think it's just our intuition to go in there and cheerlead and be like, but look at this other thing that's happening. It's going to be so great. And it is helpful to sit in the discomfort with your child and say, I'm sorry, I know this is hard and I know it is sad. And how can we honor this? Can we write a letter to the teacher? Or can we write a letter to your friend that left? Or is there an action that we can do that can be somewhat healing?
It's important to remember that grief is a universally shared experience. We all go through its ups and downs at different points in life. To find links to grief resources and to learn more about our guest, Natasha Daniels, head to viewpointsradio.org. Also, check out her book, The Grief Rock, now available online and in select bookstores. To support our show, follow us at Viewpoints Radio on Instagram, Facebook, and X. This story was written by our executive producer, Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson. This segment is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars and 5x miles on flights when you book through Capital One Travel, plus 2x miles on all other purchases. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Get Rain-X Rugged XL Premium Wiper Blades now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Their extra-large profile and premium features make Rugged XL Blades the right choice for extreme weather driving and durability. Buy two Rain-X Rugged XL Premium Wiper Blades and save $12, plus get two times O'Rewards points. Our professional parts people will even install them for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
Hey, you.
Yeah, you.
This is your dentist. Do me a favor and feel the front of your teeth. How grimy are they?
Ugh.
It's time for a Crest Pro Health reality checkup. That grime is the buildup of plaque bacteria that can cause cavities in just months. You need to switch to Crest Pro Health. While most toothpaste stop working in minutes, Crest Pro Health's antibacterial fluoride protects for up to 12 hours to stop cavities before they start. So pick some up on the way home. Smile. Crest has you covered.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. It's nearly 2024. How are you planning to ring in the new year? Here in the U.S., we often set off fireworks and toast with champagne, but each country celebrates a bit differently with various customs and traditions. In several cultures, it's believed that eating round foods will bring prosperity. In the Philippines, kids and adults each eat 12 round fruits on New Year's Day to ensure a full year of abundance. Travel to Greece, and right after midnight, each household smashes a round pomegranate on their doorstep. If the seeds are spread far apart, the new year will be filled with good luck. In Spain, it's tradition to eat 12 grapes in 12 seconds. This ritual stems from an old superstition that says if you skip eating the fruit, your fate will be ruined in the coming year. One grape represents each stroke of midnight. Head north across Europe to Sweden and Norway, and you'll find another food-centered tradition. Families make rice pudding on New Year's Eve and fill the serving bowl with one almond. Whoever gets the nut while eating their pudding is expected to have good luck and fortune in the coming months. Jump over to Denmark, and it gets a bit wild. On New Year's Day, it's customary to break dishes on your doorstep and on a neighbor's door. Simply put, it's a sign of good luck and friendship in the coming year. However you're celebrating this year, we wish you a happy New Year's and a 2024 filled with loved ones, laughs, and prosperity. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. Who's your favorite rapper of all time? Jay-Z, Kendrick Lamar, Tupac, Notorious B.I.G., For me, it's Andre 3000, one half of the Grammy-winning rap duo Outkast. In fact, Andre is considered by many to be one of the greatest rappers of all time, despite never dropping a solo album in his career. That is, until now. But it's not what you think. On November 17th, Andre Benjamin, better known as Andre 3000, dropped his first ever solo album, titled New Blue Sun. But here's the catch. It's not a rap album. Instead, it's an 87-minute collection of mostly improvised woodwind and percussion music. While it doesn't have any rap, it's still very much an Andre 3000 album. Those familiar with Three Stacks' eccentric persona may not be very surprised by this decision. For years, the rapper has been spotted in public places like airports and coffee shops playing a native flute. So this new project seems like a natural next step. And just like Andre's bars, the woodwind melodies in this album are loose, hard to define, and almost hypnotic. I'd even argue that many of the songs in Outkast's catalog featured hints of this new musical direction for Andre. From the ambient intro on Aquemini to the catchy trumpet line in Spodioti Dopalicious, you can hear the beginnings of Andre's more atmospheric and experimental tendencies. The album toes the line between chaos and order, and somehow finds a peaceful in-between. It might not be for everyone, but if you're a fan of Outkast's more atmospheric deep cuts, you might want to throw on this album as you meditate, go for a walk, or nod off to sleep. It's great to have any kind of new music from Andre, but my biggest takeaway from this album is not the music itself, but the door it opens. If Andre 3000 is confident enough in his music to drop an entire album of experimental flute, who's to say he won't ever release a new rap album? Or maybe even another Outkast record. He clearly wants to make new music and wants it to be heard and enjoyed. Even the name of the first track alludes to this. It's called, I Swear I Really Wanted to Make a Rap Album, But This Is Literally the Way the Wind Blew Me This Time. If by this time he means New Blue Sun, then I can't wait to see what happens next time. I'm Tabor Brewster.
Imagine a time when America's first black pilots take to the skies. Even with little money, no support, and dwindling resources, these invisible eagles were still able to secure record-breaking achievements in aviation. This podcast tells the story of one of these pioneers.
And there she goes, folks. Brave Bessie is headed up into the sky.
Hey, y'all. I'm Bessie Coleman, and I want to tell you a story. What you hear is the sounds of when I became the very first black woman to ever take flight.
American Urban Radio Networks and Flying Free Films presents Invisible Eagles, Bessie Coleman, presented by AARP and starring Quvenzhané Wallace as Bessie, a story that will take you around the world from America to Europe during the roaring 1920s. It's a time of the Great Depression, new technology, a world war, and the horrors of Jim Crow. Invisible Eagles, Bessie Coleman, presented by AARP. Subscribe now in your favorite app so you can get the latest episode downloaded as soon as it's released.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
Say condition, my condition ain't ever gonna go away. Cause now I'm knee deep in the water somewhere. Got the blue sky breeze blowing wind through my hair. Only worry in the world is the tide gonna reach my chair. Sunrise, there's a fire in the sky. Never been so happy, never felt so high. And I think I might have found me my own kind of paradise. This champagne shore washing over me. It's a sweet, sweet life, living by the salt of sea. One day you will be as lost as me. Change your geography. Maybe you might be. Knee deep in the water somewhere. Got the blue sky breeze blowing wind through my hair. Only worry in the world is the tide gonna reach my chair. Sunrise, there's a fire in the sky. Never been so happy, never felt so high. And I think I might have found me my own kind of paradise. Come on in, the water's nice. Buy yourself a lip slice. Grab a backpack of lies. You never know until you try. When you lose yourself, you find the key.
I've seen a dozen texts and I ain't heard jack. I guess she's busy playing hard to get back. So I bought roses and her favorite wine, thinking we'd be making up in no time.
98.3. Online at 98qcountry.com.
Yeah, I've been throwing down the whiskey. I ought to get my money back. Someone said it drowns a memory. Oh, but it ain't doing jack. Yeah, I've been sipping, I've been buzzing, shooting doubles like it's nothing. All but nothing makes you go away. I need something you.
prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the name brands at up to 95% off. That's right. Get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but for 95% less. It's the same medication, still prescribed by a licensed medical provider, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
What do you listen?
Why? Because I like the station.
Because they're the best radio station.
I love the music. I love everything.
Thanks for listening.
98Q Country.
Kicks them up strong, serves me up right.
today's favorites and yesterday's classics. 98 Q Country.
You know the color of my coffee. Too many t-shirts in my closet that you bought me. At this point, I can't unlearn the things you've taught me about myself.
You pick the music when I'm driving. Your mama always takes my side when you fight me. And these days my dog likes you more than he likes me. You can just tell.